This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Speaking of these pro-Hamas protesters and rioters, did you guys see this girl? Did you guys see this girl on the Columbia campus? It was her big moment. It was her big moment. Here she is. She's doing like an official press conference. You know, like the official press conference that Joe Biden refuses to hold, condemning these anti-Semitic rioters. Yeah, she had all these TV cameras in front of her. I think she even had a podium. There were several microphones on the podium. This was her big moment. And she takes to the cameras. I think, oh yeah, here we go. We've got a little bit of audio for you here. Let me play it for you here for a second.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
You mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in. Unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
She's demanding that Columbia University, here they are, they were occupying this campus. Now, police have since gone in and finally broken this up, but here they were, you know, breaking windows, harassing Jewish students, occupying the administration building on campus, but then they were demanding that humanitarian aid be delivered to these occupiers. Where's our food? Bring us some Jimmy John's sandwiches or something. I mean, anyway, the post-millennial shared this via X. Reporter grills Columbia student after she demands the university help feed the protesters occupying Hamilton Hall. It seems like you're saying we want to be revolutionaries. We want to take over this building. Now, would you please bring us some food? Anyway, Peachy Keenan is an incredible writer. She's friends with our buddy Jeremy Carl from the Claremont Institute, who lives in Bozeman. Peachy Keenan said this. This is her big break. The moment she's been waiting for. Claiming her rightful place in the spotlight. Everything she's done. Her PhD in Marxist poetry. Her pronoun selections has led up to this. This is the terminus of feminism. Asking for bags of Frito-Lays to feed the other TAs locked in a building. Absolutely poetic, right up there by Peachy Keenan via X.com. By the way, go to X.com/Aaron Flint. You can see that tweet from Peachy Keenan there and more. Speaking of Jeremy Carl, I shared something from him as well. Americans, it is a time for choosing. The left's embrace of trans rights insanity punishes actual girls and women. Yeah, apparently the five girls from a middle school in West Virginia who refused to participate in a shot put event where a male was allowed to compete against them. Oh, yeah, the girls have been banned from sports. Not the dude taking away their opportunity. They banned the girls from sports.
Democracy 24.
These two have shared a debate stage before, and after steering clear of any commitment for months, President Biden told Howard Stern that he's open to it.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
And though he skipped Republican primary debates, a former President Trump says, bring it on.
We're willing to do it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night on national television. We're ready. Just tell me where. We'll do it at the White House. That would be very comfortable, actually. But you tell me where, but we're ready.
A recent Fox News poll shows that 72% of voters think it shows weakness if a presidential candidate refuses to debate.
The Commission on Presidential Debates has already selected locations and dates for three presidential debates, but that doesn't mean they'll actually happen. In Washington, Doug Russo, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered snow showers across the Bozeman area at times today. Also seeing rain showers towards the Billings area as well. High temperature readings will stay from around 45 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, continued snow shower chances in Bozeman with an isolated rain shower chance early in the Billings area, lows in the 20s and 30s. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Wow, what a show on Monday's Montana Talks. We had highlights, Donald Trump Jr., Tim Sheehy, and more from Sunday's event in Missoula, Montana. Plus, I got to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raglin, retired Green Beret, who was traveling to Billings, Montana, with General Michael Flynn. And then a lineup of incredible phone calls from all across Montana. That's always the best part, taking your phone calls, getting a chance to hear from you. Montana Talks, this is the show where you get to talk statewide, 9 to 10 every Monday through Friday.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've had so many great conversations catching up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Beef. We're going to get back to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. But, yeah, it's been fun catching up with Brian Massard. He's been joining us on the show from time to time to promote his Reminisce Angus Beef products, from the steaks to the kielbasas to the jerky, you name it. And then we've been talking, some interesting egg issues as well at the same time. Brian, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. What all you been up to, man? It seems like every time we catch up with you, you got something big going on. You know, you had the bull sale the last time, and then you were off to South Dakota and who knows where.
Yeah, well, that's life. That's life in a Montana business. I was just listening to all the ads and all the guys running from Montana, and that's just part of it. So we're irrigating and turning cows out to summer pasture. We're just now getting ready to calve next month, and then we're scheduling cattle to go to the feedlot, and we're scheduling cattle going to the processor. I mean, it's just going around and around. The baby calves being born this year won't be processed into food for some of them 3 years. I mean, it just depends on when people calve, and it's a fun process to be a part of. It's a fun process to be just people when you send them samples of the meat, and everybody has that same response of why is this so different. And so we've really enjoyed it and learning about the industry, we've learned so much about how healthy beef is that do you know that 2 out of 3 people that don't eat beef today don't eat it out of health concerns? There's still so much media, so much information out there that's untrue, factually untrue about beef, and that's how you sell pills. And we're selling beef to people and helping people get healthy and off of pills and feel good about their life and go enjoy what they want to do.
You know, that's such a good point you made. So many, I was actually just talking with another friend yesterday, Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. And, you know, one of the things I loved about that program is, hey, you want to be healthy and you want to lose weight and you want to maintain your muscle mass? Well, hey, good Montana beef is a great thing to have as a part of your diet. But so many people are turning to pills, and yeah, you might lose weight, but are you losing muscle mass at the same time? And well, that's not a healthy alternative. That might be a temporary, lose weight fast. But if you're losing your muscle mass like that, that doesn't help you in the long run. So, but Montana beef, that's going to help you in the long run. Plus, it tastes better anyway.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the message that we have really learned about in the last 3 years is how important saturated fat, animal fat especially in beef, is good for your body. You know, our bodies are basically 95% cholesterol, and you have to have that to function. And a lot of those, when you're not eating saturated fat and protein, animal protein, your body starts going haywire and doing these other things to function. And the only alternative is you either take a pill or get back on real food, and it's all part of regenerative ag. I mean, it's so important because there's nothing out there that can eat grass but a ruminant, and you can take that and turn it into the healthiest protein, the healthiest diet you can eat by eating beef. It's fantastic.
You know, it's interesting. Part of me, when I first heard this concept, plant-based products, you know, you kind of recoil because you're like, okay, are they trying to promote this vegan garbage? Give me a break. But then, I was up in northeast Montana where we've got some great pea and lentil producers, the Montana pulse crops. There's some great plant-based products, right? And they're great for side dishes. And some of these, you know, pea and lentil products have a little bit higher protein in them as well. So it's not just straight-up carbs. But I tell you what, it's great for side dishes. You know, we love our farmer friends on top of our rancher friends. But really, at the end of the day, you still want to have that Montana beef and a steak or burger, you name it, or you've got beef bacon, you got jerky and much more. You still want that as the centerpiece.
Yeah, you do. And you got vegetarians should love ranchers. They should love beef because, you know, as a whole, if you're a consumer out there, 37% of all crop production is non-human edible. And guess who can eat the hulls and the shells and the vines and the stalks? Cows eat that, and they're continuing to produce food for us. And so it goes together with all of it. And cows can eat the peas and lentils and everything else, too, and convert it into good, healthy protein and fat, and all of the vitamins and minerals that are in it. And ours is unique because we are our specific, our real unique flavor in our beef goes back to one bloodline, and we've preserved that bloodline for 30 years. It is so unique and so different. That's the measurable difference when people eat our jerky or eat our steaks or our burgers and go, oh my God, why is this so good? And our burgers, we make them 76% lean, and people look at you and go, oh my gosh, that's too fat. I'll have a heart attack. And no, you'll actually feel better and be healthier the more fat you have in your burger, and it'll actually taste like it did back in the 70s. It will be good.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I've had some of your Reminis Angus, the jalapeno cheddar kielbasa, I think it was. I've got some burger thawing out in the fridge right now as we speak, so can't wait to try some of that. What's your favorite thing that you produce from a beef product standpoint, something that you can cook up and eat?
I would say probably our sirloin steaks. That flavor, like I said, that unique flavor. We get so many comments, people will buy a beef box, a sirloin box, and they'll send back and say, you know, I can't buy tenderloins in a restaurant that taste like this sirloin. This is absolutely amazing. It's one of our highest selling boxes.
Interesting. Sirloin. And sirloins are usually cheaper than some of the other cuts, you know, like the ribeye. So, yeah, that's great to hear. All right, Brian Massard, hold that thought. I'll come back to you real quick here right after the break as well so you folks can find out where to find your products.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Guess which city is seeing a giant spike in the number of people applying for firearms permits? New York City, the one whose restrictive carry laws and permitting standards were rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court and who's now fighting in the Supreme Court yet again to uphold additional gun restrictions created after the previous ones were overturned. More than 13,000 New Yorkers applied for pistol permits in 2023. That's a little less than double from 2022. And more than 3,000 have applied in the first few months of this year alone. So why do so many people want to legally own a gun in New York City? Mayor Eric Adams can't say, but it's been lucrative so far. The NYPD charges more than $300 to process a permit. That's at least $200 more than the initial fee in Florida. New York City will make more than $6 million this fiscal year. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Don't let this is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Ranchers here in Montana know all too well the impact that wolves had on livestock production, especially when they were listed on the Endangered Species Act and the state of Montana was unable to manage them. Well, after the citizens of Colorado voted to introduce wolves back into the state, ranchers in western Colorado are experiencing losses due to wolves. In Colorado Parks and Wildlife confirmed another wolf depredation in Grand County, all on the same ranch. Rancher Conway Farrell has lost those 5 yearlings in addition to other cattle due to his focus on trying to keep wolves out of his herd.
the damage that these things are doing. They have all these animals so stirred up and so distressed that we're having other problems and other issues. The other day when that happened, I spent 3 hours up here with the DOW the one day and had a calf die on the river because I wasn't down there providing our cattle the proper animal husbandry. 2 days later, I was up here from, I took the 2 o'clock till daylight shift with the DOW, the Parks and Wildlife. By me being up there, I wasn't providing proper animal husbandry to our cattle on the river, and I had a prolapsed cow that died. So the amount of money that this is costing my family, it's just tenfold of what the actual damages are to the dead one.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife has refused to remove the wolves from the area as well. Again, something we know all too well about here in Montana. I'm Lee Nordblund.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we do have the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, we've got open phones here for the next few minutes. And then coming up around 7:40, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity will be back with us here. That'll be coming up here in just a second. Plus, I've got a bunch of messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app that I want to try to get to here. But first, some of you were probably thinking, man, Aaron, you were telling us about all these great Reminis Angus beef products there, and how do we go find these products? So thanks to Brian Massard for sticking around for a couple more minutes here. Yeah, Brian, where can folks find all your various products?
Well, we're starting to get more and more town pump stores. There's a lot of them in between Billings and Bozeman, and we're starting to head up through Helena, Great Falls, the Missoula area, and several little stores like the Fort and Big Timber and the Jerky, Beef Jerky Experience down in Red Lodge, and several little Stillwater Market there towards the Billings area. But it's starting to show up. We're getting more and more requests. We got enough requests now. We've got a route. We've got a little van. It's got wraps. We'll be looking for the Reminis Angus beef van driving around the state. And we got new bags coming out with a really pretty logo on it, and it's a picture of, you know, bulls trailing out across the sagebrush in Montana, and it's fun growing this thing. I never thought, you know, irrigating meadows out here that we'd be out driving the van delivering beef jerky, but it's pretty fun to see the thing go full circle, because, you know, as ranchers, you raise your calf and you sell your calf and you hope it's good and everything you've put into it, and that's about the end of it. And you've taken a risk a long time. You've bought the bulls the year before. You know, you've got winter. You've got all the nutrition, all the health, everything you can put into that animal to make him the best you can. And then it goes away, and the next segment takes it, and the next segment takes it. And you wonder, where's all the money in this system? Where there's usually not enough in agriculture. You know, we buy all of our inputs at retail, and we sell our product at wholesale. And it's always been a challenge. So for us, for our customers that buy our bulls and they believe in our program, it's how do we get them across the finish line? How do we bring sustainability to the ranchers and keep them out? You know, this open space, I just listened to an ad that you had on there, a gal talking about, I don't know what the program was, but the Montana rivers, we're all part of that. We're up here, a lot of ranchers like us are up above all the dams, above all the reservoirs, and the only irrigating water we get is snow. And you pull that water out of the creeks and you put it out across your meadows, and it goes down into the ground, comes up in another spot, and then you have a wetlands area, and there's ducks and geese and all kinds of birds, and it's holding that water. It's not all just going down to the municipalities in Iowa or down to Missouri. It's so important to pull that out. And
then that water protects us from wildfires later in the year. That's what a lot of people don't understand, too, is that if we just flush all that water downstream, well, then we don't have it when we need it. But that, you know, irrigation, anything like that, like, or any of that water that's left on the land, that helps kind of maintain that down the road. That's one big lesson learned. They learned down in California when they tore out all the dams in particular, too, is what the impact that had on wildfire threats and so much more. Your website again, Brian Massard.
It's remangusbeef.com.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see your van cruising around. We had a Bidenomics van that they were driving around in Bozeman, and I kind of wanted to take it down by the river. I'm living in a van down by the river, thanks to Biden tester inflation. But well, great to catch up with you. Thanks for your time again this morning.
Hey, you bet. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Okay. 406-294-0970, the number for you. We got Tim in Billings first up on the phone lines here. Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. I'm sure you've heard of this. You may have even talked about it and I missed it. But, you know, all the dust up about Christy Noem writing about taking care of a dog that had gotten into chickens and started to get a little snacky with people, and she took it and she terminated the dog's life, you know, and all the people that are criticizing her for this, you know, we were not in agriculture when I was growing up, but we were surrounded by people who were, and we had a dog that started getting into lambs, and it took one time, and my dad drug it out and grabbed it by the collar and put a .22 shell right into its brain pan, and that was a good lesson for us kids, is that if you're going to be a dog owner and your dog is irresponsible, the responsible thing as the owner is to take care of that dog where it's not going to, you know, affect your neighbor's livestock or children or anything else like that. And I think that's, you know, that just shows that's an example of what's going on in America, is that we don't have enough people who have the guts to take and hold their kids, their dogs, and themselves accountable for their own bad actions.
There's it's a bunch of citified pearl clutchers, then, is what you're saying. These people attacking South Dakota Governor Christy Noem. Yeah, you got a dog that's getting into livestock. It's been dealt with time and time again. How many other people? Anyway, hold that thought, Tim. I'll come back to you. 60 seconds.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. May Day, literally. Police finally called to move on several violent campus pro-Palestinian protests. Starting last night at New York's Columbia, L.A. riot police finally respond after a three-hour UCLA campus brawl with pro-Israeli counter-protesters. This local man describes it.
I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I'm looking at people, violence. Look at this. They're throwing things at each other. They're pepper spraying each other. How are they allowed to have weapons on campus?
New Orleans SWAT teams move in at Tulane. 10 arrested at University of South Florida. One man had a gun. No statement direct from President Biden. He's at home in Delaware with a campaign event. Donald Trump posts, "Where's Sleepy Joe? He's sleeping, that's where." Telling Fox anti-Semitism cannot be allowed to fester. Trump holds big rallies today in Wisconsin and Michigan on a day off from court. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, back to Tim and Billings. Yeah, so Tim, what do you think? So all these people that are attacking Christy Noem, she had included this story in apparently in a book that she wrote, in a bio that she wrote. Bunch of citified folks clutching pearls. You know, as you mentioned that story, yeah, hey, you got a dog that gets into the neighbor's livestock. The dog's going to get put down one way or another. I also think of how many of these citified pearl clutchers have also put down dogs. But see, they drive them to the shelter, and then the shelter is the one that puts the dog down. But nonetheless, they've put dogs down for various reasons themselves, yet they clutch pearls and attack Christy Noem, right?
And then they ask the vet or the pound to take care of the carcass instead of going out and burying that dog themselves. I think it shows the dog more respect, you know, to bury the dog yourself, take care of it yourself, instead of taking it to some stranger and having them jab a needle in its arm. I mean, that dog didn't know anything but love right up until the last minute, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you take a dog and then you take it to the vet. I just think that it's a symbol of what's going on in our country. You know, how many of these kids that on these college campuses protesting never got spanked? They never got disciplined. If they did something to their neighbor's property, their parents probably went and told, "Well, you shouldn't have left your property out." My sweet little angel Donnie or you know, Joey, they would have never done anything like this if you hadn't left it out for them to get into. Well, hello, have some personal responsibility. Raise your kids right. There's a Bible verse. Raise your child up in the way of the Lord, you know, and you know, these people are not doing that.
And honor thy father and mother. No, I'm going to yell at them if they don't buy me an iPhone, and I will demand
absolutely.
Of them. Hey, I got to tell you a message that I got on our Montana Talks app. This came in, I think, last night. You know, you mentioned these spoiled brat college kids with these anti-Semitic protests and riots. A, B, you know the term, the three R's. You know, you'll joke, reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? It's kind of a joke right. about the three R's. Well, A, B, and Billings says this. This is Anton in Billings. Good morning, Aaron. So what is going on at Columbia? Well, they're having finals for the three R's. Racism, rioting, and revolution. It's just finals week. That's all that's going on.
Absolutely. I heard a gal that was, the police were coming in, and she was screaming, and she's like, no, I've got finals this week. I'm sorry. There's consequences to your actions there, sweetheart. If you're going to go in and you're going to destroy a building, and you're going to, you know, impede people's progress and keep them from being able to do their thing, you're going to have to suffer the consequences of your actions, regardless of if you've got finals or not. Somebody needs to pull that silver spoon out of her you-know-what, and she spent a week in jail with a couple of crackheads that would sell her children.
They don't get a week in jail. They don't get a week in jail. They know how the game is played. They know how it is. They even after they got arrested last night, they're going to go to jail and then get quickly released, just like the criminals on the subway in New York. In fact, if you guys missed it earlier, I played the soundbite of a protester saying that very thing.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. We've got our friend Henry Kriegel back on the phone lines with us here. And, of course, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Action. Henry, first off, thanks for rescheduling to join us today instead of yesterday. I just thought attending that community prayer breakfast was so important because, boy, does our country need it now, huh?
Oh, we definitely need the prayers, Aaron. It's very distressing to see what's going on around our college campuses and universities around the U.S. And if I can just clarify a comment to me last time I was on your show or add some more cover to it. I am a Columbia University alumni, and I self-funded my way through school. I worked part-time. I did work study during the summertime. I had scholarships. I had a loan. I paid off in full.
Wow.
And 11 years after they rioted in 1968 on Columbia University campus, I was out there promoting Young Americans for Freedom, the chapter that I founded after I started my own group. That's where I was at when I was in New York City. And you see where we have descended again to today, where violence is now an accepted form of political speech and harassment of other students. It's despicable, and it's actually well-funded, because if you look at the encampment tents on Columbia University's grounds, they're all the same tent. Now, you know, students didn't all go out to REI and buy the same tent to live in on the campus.
Yeah.
So,
well, I saw Fox News Radio had confirmed that apparently the Rockefellers and George Soros, Fox News Radio reported this, that it was confirmed that they were funding these campus protesters. But we know that there's more. I will guarantee you there is foreign interference going on here as well, propping up these pro-Hamas outfits. It's just absolutely crazy what's going on.
Yeah, they're trying to set the stage to create so much chaos that will ultimately impact our culture, civilization, and in the near term, our upcoming elections, which is what we're here to talk about today. And where we can make the greatest impact, as I've always said on your show, is right here in Montana. Because we have, as you know, the top U.S. Senate race occurring right in our home state. And we have a way to make a very significant difference. And I was a little taken back when I saw the fundraising reports for the first quarter of 2024. And yes, John Tester is a fundraising machine. He raised nearly $7.3 million in the first quarter, bringing up his total to be up beyond $31 million. He spent a lot attacking Tim Sheehy, So he's down to 12 men, 12.6 in the bank as of the end of the first quarter. And that's more than 10 times what, actually, it's 5 times what Sheehy has left in the bank. She has been able to raise $2.17 million in the first quarter, bringing up his total to $5.8 million, which is one sixth of the total that Tester raised. Now, how do you compete with that? I mean, that's the question. How do we compete?
Because we can't. We can't compete
with the Democratic Party,
right? We can't compete with that.
We actually can, but we can't compete on their playing field. We compete where we have the comparative advantage, where we are the strongest. And I'll tell you where we are crushing them, Aaron. We are crushing them at the doors. We are crushing them with our canvassing team at Americans for Prosperity Action. We've got staff all around the state. I don't know, maybe upwards of 60 part-time people knocking doors, having one-on-one conversations with voters, and changing hearts and minds at the door. That's where we compete, and that's where we're most effective. I will tell you this, after a certain period of time, people are going to be so bombarded with these negative ads that Kester is putting forward that they're going to just tune them out.
I think they already have been. I think they already have been. You know, it was interesting. There was a time period where they were spending $1 million a week to try to knock out Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy from the race and prop up another Republican in the primary. And it didn't work. It actually backfired on him. It rallied more support around Tim Sheehy. But Tester was using his dark money operatives to bash Sheehy. Now Tester is so desperate, he's trying to bash Sheehy with his own campaign money. I mean, I think Tester is just getting fully exposed by the American people right now for being the phony flip-flopper that he is. But you're right. I think there are still people out there that need to be shown the truth. And you guys are doing it by going door to door, talking to people directly. We know the fake news media isn't going to do it. These guys will bash actual American heroes and then treat these pro-Hamas rioters like their heroes, and then they'll treat John Tester like he's some kind of hero, but then they'll falsely attack actual real-world American heroes like Navy SEAL veteran and Bronze Star for Valor recipient Tim Sheehy. And so you're exactly right. The fake news media is going to do what the fake news media is going to do, but they are much weaker now than they were in 2006. And so that's why your efforts to go door to door, and anybody who can volunteer with you guys to go door to door, that's how we take back our country.
Oh, absolutely. And you're spot on about the attacks on Tim Sheehy. And thankfully, yesterday we had a mainstream media outlet. NBC's Montana Today did an unedited, straight up live interview with Tim Sheehy, and Tim was able to address all the bogus claims that have been made by the Tester machine, including the gunshot wound. You know, it was a very honorable thing of Tim Sheehy to not report the likely friendly fire he suffered in Afghanistan, because it would have led to an investigation and possible removal of one of his troops, and him, since he was wounded, and they were down to half level of their troop strength, because half of them were already wounded and taken off the field of battle, and that was not an option for him. Finally, some media outlet gave him a straight shot, and he did a wonderful job, and I would recommend our listeners check out NBC Montana's Today clip on YouTube from yesterday with Tim Sheehy. It's excellent. It will answer many of the questions that have been posed by the naysayers and the non-believers and the critics, and the Tester machine has been putting out towards Tim Sheehy.
I'm glad he called out the fake news in that interview too, because you could tell, like, NBC Montana, and I see their liberal biased reporters on Twitter. Mm-hmm. These guys like slobber over their fellow liberal reporters. And, you know, it was a total attempted hit piece. They took all of the Democrat hit pieces and tried to throw them all at Tim Sheehy, and he fought back against each and every one of them, called out the fake news media like the Daily Beast. I mean, give me a break. It's a liberal blog. And so, yeah, even though they try to throw everything they can at him, when they throw softballs at John Tester, right?
They do, and they misreport things too. Like in these articles that have come out about the fundraising and the money being spent in Montana, they claim that the Last Best Place PAC has only spent $1.7 million. That's totally false. They spent $5.4 million before the first quarter was even over.
Yeah, that's Chuck Schumer's pack,
That's Chuck Schumer's pack. Then they contrast that to, quote, the billionaire-funded more jobs, less government. That spent $5.1 million in support of Tim Sheehy. I think they got the numbers reversed, actually. By the way, I will say this, though. I am proud that AFP Action has kicked in $1.8 million in media buys in support of Tim Sheehy's campaign.
Oh, wow.
We are engaging in the war, in the ear war, as best as we can, but we really put most of our resources in canvassing and door-to-door. That's where people, that's where listeners in Bozeman and in Billings have the opportunity to engage, because we have very strong offices here in Bozeman, and also where you're at in Billings, where they can engage as volunteers or someone that they want a great plum job door knocking. We pay more, higher than market rates for this stuff.
Yeah.
And in fact, we have
I ran into a veteran. I ran into a retired law enforcement friend who's also an Air Force veteran. He said, "Yeah, I've been you know, doing a part-time job. You know, he's retired and he wants to help out his country and wants to get into the fight." So yeah, he was telling me how he's going door to door for Concerned Veterans for America. And you got a great team there out of your Billings office with Chris Ingett, a Purple Heart veteran himself. Henry, hold that thought. I want to sneak in at least one caller before our next break here. Randy in Livingston, did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi. Yes, I did. Thank you. I've been getting a lot of junk on my phone from a fellow named Troy Downing, and I don't know him from Adam. Been in Montana for 6 years. I just wanted to know, is he running for Rosendale's job, and is a lady named Elsie Arnson, is she also running for Rosendale's job?
So you don't know either of them, huh?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm out here in Livingston. We don't have a newspaper worth using for your bird cage. I'm sure you know that.
And you're relatively new to Montana, did I hear? Yeah. So Troy Downing is the state auditor. He's running for the Eastern Congressional seat. Elsie Arnson is the superintendent of public instruction. She's running for that congressional seat. 8 candidates in total. So that's 2 of them. All right. Randy, thanks for the call. Henry Kriegel, if you can, stand by. We'll come back to you after the break. I know you guys are, you know, very involved from the AFP Action standpoint on the U.S. Senate race. Wondering if you guys are involved in the House race as of yet either.
Needless to say, you don't play favorites, but every family has a natural unspoken hierarchy. Longest legs up front, shortest kid in the way back, and the one with the best attitude, right smack dab in the middle. Sorry, buddy. The first ever Lexus TX is a three-row SUV where everybody wins. With loads of elbow room, cargo room, and leg room. For everyone, no matter where they sit, this is a new era of three-row luxury. The Lexus TX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Fox News commentary.
In one of the cringiest moments to ever air on television, Drew Barrymore urges VP Harris to be the mamala of the country. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. You know, I've seen some pretty bad television in my day, but the VP Kamala Harris interview on the Drew Barrymore show might take the cake. And yet another softball interview for the terribly unpopular VP. Actress and show host Drew Barrymore lamented on the state of the nation and, with a straight face, told the vice president that the country needs her to be our mamala. Oh boy, where do I begin? First of all, it's not surprising that uber liberal flower child Drew Barrymore chose to fawn all over the VP. That was expected. But to claim that the country, Joe and Kamala, destroyed, needs Kamala to be our mamala. Well, that's a bridge too far. Kamala Harris can't even handle her designated duties. Just take a look at the border invasion she's overseeing. So the last thing America needs is for Kamala to be our matriarch. We don't even want her as the vice president. That's a no from we the people, Drew. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com. Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussion.
Identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% their first year with my name Clay as the promo code at lifelock.com.
So Big Sandy, is that John Tester's drag queen name? Oh man, if you missed it, a hilarious line roasting liberal Senator John Tester. That was the line used by Alex Brusewitz, conservative commentator, conservative strategist, very close to the Donald Trump family. He was
.com/free.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get back to Henry Kriegel here in just a second, but next up on the phone lines, we've got Pat Plowman out of Carbon County. Pat, always great to hear from you.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. Bless you. I pray for you every day.
I'd so appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, we all need it. I just wanted to share our Carbon County National Day of Prayer event. The theme is Lift Up the Word, Lift Up the World, 2 Samuel 22, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness, for by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word proves true. And we will meet under the flagpole at the Carbon County Courthouse at noon tomorrow, 102 Broadway Avenue. You can call me or Pastor Bob, 962-2235.
Hey, that's great. Well, Pat, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I know tomorrow I will be at the Yellowstone County Courthouse. Let's see, tomorrow's Thursday. Yeah, for a similar event. So, yeah, Carbon County, great to hear about that event there. And then I'll be at a National Day of Prayer event at the Yellowstone County Courthouse same time. If any of you missed it yesterday, they had the community prayer breakfast in Billings. And in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, I had a former Democrat congressman and Ambassador Tony Hall in the 9 o'clock hour. Man, so incredible talking with him. Seriously, it's one of those deals. If you missed it, go back and listen to the audio. I've got it featured at MontanaTalks.com right now. All right, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Action. Henry, what else do you want to share before we run out of time here this hour?
Speaking on behalf of Americans for Prosperity, I just want to say what a great time we had last weekend at Friday night at Rockin' Our Bar downtown, Bozeman, Mike Oak's place. You joined us, and we had a lot of folks come out just for that event and also to meet my good friend, and I like to quip him about it, my good friend and Montana radio legend, Aaron Flint. Wonderful to have you, brother.
Man, that was incredible. We had probably 30, 40 listeners that came down, and then there were a bunch of other people that were hanging out. That was just like a fun little just – it was like our own little happy hour, wasn't it? And then the fusion fights, on Saturday, that was incredible.
That was great. That was so professionally run. Terrell did a great job, the guy who organizes it. And you got some time in the octagon during intermission to talk about the greatest fight that we have as a nation, and that is the fight to save our country. And that was just beautifully stated, well done. Giving kudos to those who have fought for our freedom, our veterans and first responders up front, and sharing that important message to them. And we were extremely well received.
Yeah. You know, so, I went back because we've got the you know, video that they had on their Triller TV, their Fight TV, and went back and watched it. And man, you can, because, you know, when you step in that octagon, you don't know how the crowd is going to receive your remarks. I mean, you know, the MMA crowd is pretty, you know, that's blue collar, hardworking, you know, conservative folks. You know, Trump, when Trump shows up at UFC fights, I mean, he gets a massive welcome, right? But you still never know how your message is going to be received. But when I asked people, I said, do you want the grocery prices of 4 years ago? Do you want the gas prices of the previous administration? Boom. But I mean, the crowd was like roaring. It was like it was like the fight of the night, the way the crowd was responding to that, because they get it, right? They know that the difference between the policies of the previous administration compared to what we're seeing right now under Joe Biden and John Tester.
We are all feeling the pain of Bidenomics, supported by John Tester. The inflation, the increased cost of living, wages are not increasing at the same rate that prices are. So this is the hidden tax that every Montanan is paying. And what has John Tester done? He's voted with Joe Biden 94% of the time. That was the essential core message. And this is the greatest fight we have, is a fight for our country. So I'm grateful to be a part of it. I was grateful to be at the Fusion Fights. I know you got another one coming up there.
That's right, May 11th,
that we'll
Billings.
Be part of.
Yeah. All right, Henry Kriegel, great to chat with you. Yeah, man. We met a lady yesterday, a young mom. She's got four kids. She's a nurse at one of the hospitals. We saw her out at Ace Hardware in Lockwood, and she was so appreciative of that gift card that we gave her because, yeah, the price of everything is going up, but her wages aren't going. Wow, what a show on Monday's Montana Talks. We had highlights, Donald Trump Jr., Tim Sheehy, and more from Sunday's event in Missoula, Montana. Plus, I got to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin, retired Green Beret, who was traveling to Billings, Montana, with General Michael Flynn. And then a lineup of incredible phone calls from all across Montana. That's always the best part, taking your phone calls, getting a chance to hear from you. Montana Talks, this is the show where you get to talk statewide, 9 to 10, every Monday through Friday.